Blog Talk Radio.
Don't believe what you know to be true.
What's going on?
There's no such thing as common sense.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, well, against all odds, we're still holding out some kind of hope that somehow or other the United States will maintain some semblance of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from the proverbial hidden bunker in an undisclosed location somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon, where it is, of course, beginning to look a lot like Christmas, which means it's rainy, it's damp, it's cloudy. Around here, looking a lot like Christmas doesn't mean snow or anything like that. But, all right. If you'd like to join the show, of course, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, let's just get started with whatever nonsense we have for the week. Well, it seems that yesterday we actually had the official, so to speak, election for President of the United States and Vice President of the United States. Get into that in a minute. But, yes, the Electoral College voted yesterday. I don't know why they call it the Electoral College, you know, because usually you would think that they would meet. They don't meet. The Constitution specifies that the electors meet in their respective state capitals and conduct their votes and forward their votes hermetically sealed in a, you know, sealed up and sent to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. So, well, they voted yesterday, and the results, as I said, are technically sealed. Except, of course, everybody knows exactly how everybody voted, so it's not like there's any suspense much. So the results won't officially be known for a few weeks, but, of course, Joe Biden did get enough votes to win the election, I think. Now, I say that because several of the swing states, I don't remember, I think it was Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, I think it was all of those, had alternate electors also showed up. And they voted for Trump or whoever. So the idea being that at least in those states, if the president wishes to continue, and it appears that he does, if he wishes to continue to challenge the election, there is that avenue that the states may send the other electors. They may decide to send not the electors that were chosen, or not the results not the votes that were cast by the electors chosen by the elections as reported in those states, but the other elections. And as I've mentioned before, the Constitution makes no requirement whatever that the people get any kind of a direct vote for president at all. Of course, they don't even get a direct vote for the electors. The electors are chosen in a manner designated by the state legislature. So it just so happens that every state legislature has decided that the electors will be chosen by a popular vote election, but that's not necessarily required. And the legislature could theoretically send other electors, not the ones chosen by the people. And there have been cases where it's happened. What was it, 1876, the election of Rutherford B. Hayes. It appeared that, you know, when the votes were counted and everything, Samuel Tilden had won, but some states sent two electoral vote counts, and they had a commission, and like just a couple days before the inauguration, which at the time was held later than it is now, I think like in April or something, and they finally decided that they would accept the votes for Hayes and not the votes for Tilden, and he became the president. So, yeah, it is possible. But that's the point that I'm making, is that it seems that, you know, these states have given the president some reason to believe that maybe he would continue or should continue to challenge the election. I don't know. It's becoming clearer and clearer that the election, as reported by the media, is probably going to be the election that stands. Earlier today, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stood up in the Senate and congratulated Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the president, you know, for becoming the president and vice president elect. So he was acknowledging the obvious, what seems to be obvious to most of us, or most of us other than the president, or at least the inhabitants of the echo chamber. I am still seeing that some people apparently really believe. I, fortunately, being one of those in general agnostic about most everything sorts of people, I'll believe whatever I see happen. I'm not going to predict. I'm not going to, you know, sure, I would like to see the impossible happen, but okay, moving along. On a completely different but exactly the same subject, as a result of the Electoral College vote, Joe Biden, the former vice president, the unofficial, still somehow president-elect, because once again, we don't officially have a president-elect officially. Believe whatever you want, but officially, when the votes are counted by the, you know, in the Congress, and Congress certifies the vote, then it's official, over and done with. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a bit. But after the Electoral College votes, or enough of them, became public that Biden was the obvious winner, which we knew anyway, he got up and gave a speech. I did not see the entire speech. I just saw a few bits and pieces. I read the reports. He seemed kind of strained. Like, remember what he was like on the campaign trail? Well, the trail that led from one side of his basement to the other. Yeah, that trail. If we remember that, he seemed strained. I mean, he was just, you could see that he was kind of squinting, having trouble reading the teleprompter. And he, you know, just didn't seem to be with it. You weren't seeing the Biden that we'd seen a little more recently. Like, you know, they didn't get his meds scheduled or whatever proper so that he could show up appearing in good shape for his speech, because it wasn't a very long speech. Should have been pretty simple. Just go up, read words, you know, for less time than I've been talking here already. But he sounded, you know, worse than I do now, if you can believe that. But a thing that people really noticed was that he spent a lot of time coughing, clearing his throat. You know, just he seemed to not be very healthy, besides, you know, physically healthy, besides his normal mental health issues. And I did see the one little thing where we could see that he was, at the end of his speech, just the way he looked, Jill Biden, his wife, the doctor, yeah, we've been hearing some jokes about that lately too, but she came up and kind of led him off the stage, and he sort of sauntered off with a really, I could see it, it was what you might call an old man shuffle, you know. I mean, he just didn't look well. Kind of reminiscent of Ronald Reagan standing there with Nancy having to tell him what to say in his last months in office. Didn't look good. And, of course, when we see this, once again, questions about Mr. Biden's health. Been a lot of those questions for quite a while, but now we're wondering. Now, even some on the left are wondering, because, you know, they think they got their guy, and, you know, the worst that can happen, or for them, the best that can happen is Joe Biden dies and Kamala Harris becomes the president. And one question I actually saw, you know, asked in some one of these things I was reading, well, what happens if Joe Biden dies before the inauguration? Now, that's an interesting question. Does that mean that Kamala Harris is the now automatically get sworn in as president on January 20th? Well, now, see, I've actually given this, for some reason or other, because I'm kind of a strange person, I've actually given this a little bit of thought over the last few weeks. So, yeah, let me tell you the way I see this. Okay, should Joe Biden die between now and January 20th? There's various times when there are a few things. In any case, probably the most likely scenario ends up with Kamala Harris becoming the president. There's all kinds of ways that could happen. But it's not necessarily the case. There are a few other ways it could go. Now, near as I've been able to determine, I don't remember, see, I didn't actually check this out, but as I recall, the Constitution or the law or something says that if the president-elect dies prior to the inauguration, the vice president-elect becomes the president. However, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we do not officially have president-elect until whatever day it is in, you know, the first week in January or whatever, that the vice president, you know, certifies, and Congress certifies the election. If Joe Biden dies between the time that happens and January 20th, then Kamala Harris will be sworn in as president. That we can say pretty certain. But there's some other possibilities. What happens if Biden, say, died 5 minutes ago, you know, and I just haven't heard about it yet? Or maybe he dies today, tomorrow, in the very short term. I think the question be, now it gets to be a really interesting question, because the electors have voted, I mean, even the Biden electors, but could they, would they send their votes in for a dead guy? Could they change their votes? They've already cast their votes. I assume they've already been tabulated by the secretary of the electors or whoever the person is and put in the envelope and sealed up. They may not have been sent to Washington, D.C. yet, addressed to the president of the Senate. Could they be changed? Well, as I recall, the Constitution specifies that the electors are all supposed to meet and cast their votes on the same day. So if the states that voted for Trump, would they have to re-vote? Would they have to meet again? If they refused to, would not the votes for Biden be the ones that matter? Don't know. Could they change them? I don't know. And then if they could change them, who would they vote for? Would they vote for Kamala Harris? But if they did that, then they'd have to vote somebody else for vice president. I'm pretty sure the Constitution specifies that you cannot vote for the same person for president and for vice president. I actually read the 12th Amendment yesterday just to make sure what it said. But, okay, could they vote for, if, say, Joe Biden was dead and they could change their votes, would they vote Kamala Harris vice president and somebody else altogether for president? Who? Remember, all the states would have to basically vote for the same person. I mean, you know, if you got the all the Democrats would kind of have to be jockeying, you know, Bernie and Elizabeth and whoever else would want to be jockeying, because they, but if the vote was fractured, then nobody would end up with a majority, and then the election would go to the House of Representatives. We know how that would end. If we don't, I'll talk about that in a second here. But, okay, what if the votes are already sent in, say, Joe Biden dies in a couple weeks, you know, before the votes are open, but after they're already sent in the custody of the vice president. Now what happens? Now this gets really interesting, because at this point, you can't really change the votes. I guess maybe you could send in another set of votes. Say, no, forget the last ones, but the ones that were sent in having been tabulated on the appointed day. Would the vice president accept those, the votes for the dead guy? I don't know. Well, actually, I do know what I would do if I was him. I'd say, sure. But then how do you count the votes? Yes, I know. I'm going to crazy town, but this is where I live. How would you count those votes? I think they should be, if I were the vice president, I would, if you were voting for a dead person, as opposed to the usual Democratic dead person voting, votes for a dead person would be counted as votes for nobody. Or, if you want to be really specific, if I were the vice president, I would announce prior to counting the votes, since he knows who they're for before he actually opens them and has them counted or counts them himself. It's kind of one of those interesting things if you read the Constitution. The 12th Amendment specifies that the vice president will open the votes and they shall be counted. It doesn't say who has to count them. Whatever. I would say, if I were the vice president, I would say they will be counted as votes for no person, which is kind of what a dead guy would be. I mean, doesn't that seem reasonable? Seems reasonable to me. But, once again, read the 12th Amendment. If no person holds a majority, then we don't have a president-elect. That's where the number 270 comes from. You have to have a majority of the whole number of electors allocated to the states. So, if nobody has those votes, or if, say, all the votes for Biden stand, so they are all counted as votes for no person, then no person has a majority. Now, that means that the election would go to the House of Representatives. And, of course, in the House of Representatives, should they choose the president, this has been done before, around the election of John Quincy Adams, that's what happened, but each state gets one vote. So, well, the Republicans hold more, the majorities in more delegations than do the Democrats, so yes, generally it's considered that that vote would certainly go to Trump if it got that far. Now, it might actually go to Trump by default. Now, as often happens, you get one or two, random electors will vote for some random person. The 12th Amendment specifies that the House of Representatives will choose among the three candidates in terms of the numbers of electoral votes they have. Now, if nobody other than Trump and Biden get any electoral votes, then there is no top three. There's only a top two. Trump and the dead guy. can't vote for the dead guy, so Trump might even win by default in that situation. But that brings up another situation insofar as what happens with the vice presidential election. Because, you see, the election for vice president really doesn't have anything to do with the election for president, does it? Kamala Harris would still be the vice president-elect. Now, again, because the elections are originally the Constitution, as originally written before the 12th Amendment, said that the electors would vote for two people, and the one with the most votes would get to be the president, the one with the second most votes would get to be the vice president. But that didn't work out too well. There were issues of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who did not like each other. Personally, I don't know about personally, but at least politically, they were at odds all the time. But Jefferson was the vice president so that didn't work. And then the next election, it was Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr both got the same number of votes, and that was an issue. So they have to vote separately. So it is possible that a week from now, if Joe Biden were to die, come January 20th, the inauguration would feature President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, how would that work out? Actually, not as bad as you might think. Because, you see, technically, the vice president has absolutely no authority whatsoever unless the president delegates something. Technically, the vice president has absolutely nothing to do other than be president of the Senate. That's the only authority that the vice president has. President Trump, if he was saddled with Vice President Harris, would be able to technically just shut her out completely. Would not have to grant her any access to the White House. I think the vice president has an office in the old executive office building, but the president could actually have that boarded up. Technically, the vice president is not even part of the executive branch. Doesn't necessarily raid an office there. Nothing in the White House. Does raid an office in the Capitol building. But would not have, the president would have no obligations to the vice president other than to perhaps provide briefings on policies that are in place, what's going on, security issues, that sort of thing. Just, because the main job of the vice president is to wait to be president, if that's what it takes. But vice president cannot fire the vice president. Can only ask her to resign. Wonder what Harris would do in that situation, being shut out like that. Don't know. It's just a thought exercise, but okay. I am about out of time here, so and I think Green Beasley and Purple Pill just showed up for the last couple minutes. Tim Tapp, I don't know, Tim, if you're doing a show or not. So, yeah, well, be that as it may, back next week.